news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Fabianich. He's the executive director of the Panini's Senior Bowl. Did you know that's what it's called?
I did.
But I'm talking to the listener.
Oh, okay.
The Panini's Senior Bowl, we'll talk to him about a number of things. It was a lukewarm weekend of football. Would you call it that? I don't know.
Luke cold. Not a whole lot of great action, but that sets us up for this week with all the rivalry games. And by the way, if you're in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Pool and you're in the mix, this might be the closest race we've had here at the end of the season in at least a couple of years, because we have two that are tied at the top and then several more just behind them. But this week, when you pick the games, there are two games on Friday that are in our pick'em. So just be aware, you're going to need to get those picks in before Friday, because the Egg Bowl and the Georgia-Georgia Tech game are included in our picks this week. And you want to make sure you do that, because that grand prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware that's on the line, with one person receiving the entire prize package with that RecTech Wi-Fi grill and smoker, which is just amazing. The Turtle Box speaker with the magnet on it that just sounds amazing. That 32 can Softside Yeti cooler, all going to one person. So make sure you get those picks in before Friday, because there are a couple of rivalry games then that are in the mix. And it might be difficult this week. So many people are traveling. And normally, you know, Sean and I have been joking for years about, is it AAA that always says this year's Halloween? Mm-hmm. We'll have more people traveling than ever. This year's Thanksgiving. And the only year they didn't was the COVID year, first COVID year. But this one comes from the FAA, not AAA. The FAA says this year's Thanksgiving travel period will be the busiest since 2010. More than 360,000 flights expected, and about 52,000 are scheduled for tomorrow alone. So tomorrow, a big getaway day. The FAA Administrator Brian Bedford credited air traffic controllers and agency staff for preparing to handle the surge safely. And here you go, AAA, they're in the mix too. They project roughly 82 million Americans will travel between November 25th and December 1st. And much of the nation expected to see relatively dry conditions on Thanksgiving Day. So if you're traveling, it sounds like you're not going to be alone. A lot of people will be moving along with you.
How about this? As Americans begin to consider their travel for Thanksgiving, Amtrak has set a new record. The company provided 34.5 million customer trips in fiscal year 2025. That was up 6% year over year. They're also going to be introducing a new line of trains called the Aero Trains, I think. They'll be introduced in 2026, provide modern seating, bigger restrooms, contemporary food service experience. So they're trying to do better, I guess. And also, but in this story that I saw, this national story about Amtrak, about a number of things, business being up, new trains coming. Also at the end of the story, there were customers online talking about just some of the pricing that Amtrak does. I don't know if this is necessarily around here with our Mardi Gras service, but you can let us know on the text line. Do you ever get frustrated with the pricing that Amtrak puts on the trips? I think I haven't seen that complaint yet.
The way I understood it was kind of automated surge pricing. Like, they just look at the demand, and for instance, Sundays when folks are headed to the Saints game, that would be a little more expensive than a normal Wednesday morning trip.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I understood it.
So one guy posted on social media a picture of a $20 train ticket and another ticket priced at $236. I don't know where they were to or from or whatever, but it did strike a conversation online. Evidently, the trips were close enough in proximity where they were just, you know, they just say it is confusing to try. They like train transportation, a lot of these people in this article say, but they're frustrated by not knowing how much they have to budget to go to where they're going to go. So if there's any problem with that or anything that you've noticed with Amtrak, Or what has your experience been? Let us know on the text line, 251-343-0106.
How much do you have stored away in that train budget of yours for taking the train? I've spent zero with Amtrak. Haven't been on yet.
Me too.
But it's not that I don't want to. I mean, I think it'd be a fun trip getting to New Orleans and back. So, you know, this Bay Minette thing is really some controversy with, you know, the police chief just stepped down, Tolbert. You have a new mayor in Joshua Brown.
Yeah. And those are not coincidences.
No, apparently not. And I didn't realize, I guess, the how kind of on edge folks have been in Bay Minette ever since the investigation into the death of Otis French.
Yeah, and Brown was among those protesting back in the time. So there definitely is tension up there with that investigation, that shooting. And so now one of the guys that was protesting a good bit, evidently, is now the mayor of the town. I'm sure that's Bay Minette's first ever African-American mayor.
That's right. So a couple different stories here. 1819 News says Bay Minette's police department now asking the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office to step in and increase manpower after a series of shootings over the past couple of weeks. Newly elected Mayor Joshua Brown said there will be an increased police presence in high-crime areas over the coming weeks. From the mayor's desk, this is what Brown had to say on a, looks like a Facebook reel or live. From the mayor's desk, there is a zero tolerance for this type of behavior, and we will make sure that we keep our beautiful city safe and loved. He said he wanted to make a video for the public in the spirit of transparency and accountability. Investigators believe recent shootings were isolated incidents. The police department said, quote, "We are also asking for the community's help. If you have any information, no matter how small, please come forward." Former Bay Minette Police Chief Al Tolbert resigned after Brown was elected, stating that he felt it was best to allow for a smooth transition to a new administration. He also announced, and we had this story last week, he's with the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office now. And Jimmy Strassner was named Bay Minette's interim police chief. So along with that, you have this in-depth article from Lanyap and Grant McLaughlin.
I mean, in-depth.
Very in-depth. But remember that fight between attorney Harry Still and Bay Minette Councilman Matthew Franklin?
Yep. Yeah, that kind of toppled into the street, I think, right there in downtown Bay Minette.
And Lanyap said they were... they listened to more than 8 hours of an audio recording. I don't know if they put the author here, Grant McLaughlin, on the entire 8 hours or if he had a staff and they could take turns, but so that's a lot of audio.
That was audio recorded by Still himself.
I think so. Yeah. And there may be another source that they got some of this audio from, maybe from the cameras there. So Grant writes, a never before heard recording of a fight between the attorney and a city councilman has been released, painting a new picture of the events that local police, the former mayor, and the attorney have all offered diverging takes on. More than 8 hours of audio recording showing the fight between Harry Still and Councilman Matthew Franklin, as well as continued recording while Still was inside the Baldwin County Jail. So they had some audio from him inside the jail, too. And the recording was provided to Lanyap by Still, who said he taped the fight on his cell phone.
I forgot that he was arrested in that case.
He was, yeah. So they said both sides, like the actual audio, the recordings differ from the story that both sides told.
Mm-hmm.
According to former Mayor Bob Wills, former Police Chief Al Tolbert, and police statements, Still attacked Franklin in Franklin's office in downtown Bay Minette on September 3rd after a conversation became heated. The fight continued out the front door and onto the street where several witnesses allegedly saw Still restraining Franklin. He was then arrested and charged with assault. Still was. Now, he's countered that timeline of events. He says the city councilman attacked him, which forced Still to restrain him until Franklin stopped assaulting Still and Still's
dog. Yeah.
Still has also claimed police did not get his side of the story before arresting him. Still is a well-known name in Baldwin County, and I think, yeah, he has a podcast, they say, that frequently is critical of local officials. And then they break down...
I've heard about that podcast as long as, like, 5 years ago.
I have, too, yeah. He's ruffled some feathers over there, and it seems like his feathers... also easily ruffled. But in the tape, they break it down. Several minutes into the conversation, Still broached local politics about then-mayor-elect Joshua Brown. And Still, not a fan of the previous mayor and the previous and current council, he wanted Joshua Brown to win that race. And it sounded almost like this little get-together was him maybe gloating a little bit over the fact that things were about to change. So Brown won the election over Wills at the end of August. This happened early September. Because Brown had previously led protests against the Bay Minette Police Department over the fatal police shooting of Otis French, rumors were circulating that Tolbert had told several of his officers to quit. Still was talking to the city councilman in this video, and there is a lot of very creative cussing in this, and we're going to leave all of that out, obviously. This is still talking to Franklin. The Somerdale police chief called me. He said, hey, Al Tolbert just had a meeting with all of his guys and told them to get the blank out before Brown gets into office. Franklin replied, well, we'll just have to see how that rolls out. So he didn't deny that that meeting took place, in which the then police chief allegedly told his guys to leave the department.
Mm-hmm.
Still then said he hoped that Tolbert would be removed from office. Still said, hopefully I won't have to be in mortal fear every time I come to town of getting killed by this blanking moron that y'all gave this equipment to, some son of a blank I wouldn't trust with a potato gun. He said, that's just my personal opinion because he treated me in a way that was untoward. An argument then ensued about whether Brown would remove certain city officials from their posts, and Still said, I don't know. And this was, I mean, this could have been on stage as cussing work here, but he said, I don't know, but it's going to be a bunch of blank, blank, blankety, blank, blanks. That's a fact. Hmm. Just absolutely trashing the past administration of the department. Franklin then asked Still to leave, who said he would be happy to. As Still is heard walking away, Franklin sounds as if he's getting closer and starts yelling, get the blank out of this office, you big, fat, blank, blank. Get the blank out of my office. Still said, now hang on. Then a thump is heard, and the fight between the two begins. Said the recording does not make clear who hit who first. Then the scuffle moves outside. Still has said he then restrained Franklin from behind as he kicked and grabbed at his legs. And Still said, are you done now? I don't know why you touched me. Still is then heard telling Franklin, who denied putting his hands on him, and you may have heard this back in the day, maybe in your childhood, Still was telling Franklin to say uncle while Franklin was asking to be let go. Oh, my goodness. Are these grown men?
I'll let you go when you say uncle.
Say uncle.
And then it's an official Still victory.
And then so Franklin, apparently very upset during this interaction, grabs at Still's dog and said, I'm going to kill your blanking dog and I'm going to kill you. The two then separate. Wow. Police are called. Still goes across the street to the Baldwin County Courthouse and is approached by law enforcement shortly after. Now, Still was also claiming that the police didn't ask for his side of the story, but Lanyap and the recording dispute that. It shows officers asking Still what happened. He gave his account. Police asked other witnesses what they saw. And then after several conversations with Still, Baldwin PD officers, or Baymanette PD officers arrested him and booked him into the county jail. Still several times said he did not call 911 despite claiming he was the victim because he did not trust anyone that worked for Bob Wills or Al Tolbert. Instead asked police to contact the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office to get a deputy to speak with Still. And Still told Lanyap he was injured during the fight, but when police asked him in the recording if he was hurt, he said he didn't feel injured. He told Lanyap he had a busted lip and was being checked out by a doctor after being released. Mm. So what a dramatic and eventful kind of get-together those two had.
If you have this inherent, long-standing mistrust for anybody in law enforcement or the mayor's office in Baymanette, and you're right there by the courthouse, would it not be in your best interest not to engage in something that the police have to get involved?
Yeah.
Because now you're letting loose the hounds. If you think they're all against you in the first place, you might not want to be in a position where they've got to intervene.
And I don't know if Still was trying to goad this councilman into acting. If you show up recording on your phone, you know something's going to go down, right? Mm-hmm. You don't just walk around recording all the time just because. So, and it certainly sounds like he was kind of trying to rile him up there. But this is a weird situation for a relatively small town. And when now you have the city, who's had some gun violence here recently, although not nearly to the level of, you know, other places, but still, it's disconcerting for them.
Sure.
That now they're asking the county, the sheriff's office, for help when their previous police chief, who clearly has issues with the city and the mayor, he's part of that sheriff's office. So it's just, you know, can you...
He may not be assigned to that case, though.
Maybe not. But I guess going into the election, I didn't realize this that Joshua Brown, the now mayor, had been protesting that Otis French death. And remember, the officer was cleared on that and everything. Terrible situation, but the officer was cleared. And now you have this controversy just dragging on in Baymanette.
So it was 871 votes for Joshua Brown, and Wills had 750. So AL.com breaks it down to like a 54-46% win for Joshua Brown. Also, in the story from AL.com, they say there was an upsurge in African-American voting up there, too, in that election.
There was or was not?
There was.
Okay, there was.
That might have to do with, again, fallout from the Otis French situation as well, right?
So very well could be.
A lot of tension up there.
And some text to this, too, from you. We'll read them coming up. 251-343-0106.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Speaking of the text line, good morning, y'all. I'm positive the multi-billion dollar aluminum plant under construction in Bay Minette is thrilled by the professional and respectful operation of the city's government. Have a great day. That's U-Haul Man.
Yeah, thank you, U-Haul Man. Texter here says another angle to the Harry Still and Matt Franklin incident in Bay Minette. They're both my awesome classmates from the Baldwin County class of 92. So these two that got after it, say uncle, were former classmates apparently. When's the last time you told someone to say uncle?
Fourth grade, maybe third.
King of all unnamed texters said, if they knew they'd get a spanking from you know who, they would have behaved maybe. Mixing a couple stories together there with the teacher, which was all the stories last week, even nationwide. Squirrel Vereen says no one wants to make the connection between Bay Minette's police protesting mayor and a boost in crime. Most of the media glosses over or doesn't even mention that the black police officer Sledge also left the BMPD for the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Says the blankety blank Still seems to come off as a virtual signaling phony blanking Republican in name only. And Squirrel Vereen using the blankety blanks, because there were a lot of them I had to break out in that Lanyap article.
So there was one point of that story where it was six in a row. The words were blank.
Yeah.
Like six in a row.
He strung some of those together I haven't seen put together before.
Yeah.
But I wrote it down so I could use it in the future.
This side of Tommy Lasorda of the Dodgers back in the day. That was pretty impressive.
We also had a story earlier about someone in Pennsylvania who found $20 just laying on the ground in a Walmart, looked around, didn't appear it was anyone's, picked it up, pocketed it, and then ended up being charged because someone said they lost their $20 and Walmart went and looked at the cameras. And that's the law in Pennsylvania. You have to make a reasonable attempt. So David said, if it's just $20 and nobody's looking for it, it's yours. My rule of thumb is $50 to $100 gets turned into the establishment where it's found. Anything $100 or over gets turned into the police. Years ago, when I was delivering pizzas, I found like $200 laying on the ground at a gas station around Christmas time. I asked the gas station attendant if anyone had been missing money. She said nobody came looking for it, so I called Daphne PD and turned it in. Not even 30 minutes later, people that had lost the money, which was money her parents had given her for Christmas presents for her kids, came looking for it.
Wow. Well, good job, David, but don't move to Pennsylvania anytime soon.
Well, David would have been doing right by the law. Though he said, so 50 and under.
50 and under, yeah.
Yeah, they would have come looking for you, David. Dirt Digger
David's
says,
sitting in a Philadelphia jail.
Dirt Digger said, if I find money, I add it to give Salvation Army. Now that's okay. So you find money on the ground, no one around to claim it, then you just give that to charity. That would have been a great thing for this lady
great
to break out. Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
You made a good point about it. Like, I was thinking, well, if you find $20, maybe if you're inside a store, you take it to customer service and you're like, who's to say what they're going to do with that money? I mean, you assume that they're going to hang on to it. It's cash, and maybe they look at that as their windfall for the day.
Very well. Yeah. 8:30. We're going to talk with Panini Senior Bowl Executive Director Drew Fabianich. She's on the way next in this rivalry week.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for letting me get loose on Friday. Attended an event in Pensacola, and we had last out that elegy of a Green Beret on Saturday night. Really good show. We'll talk more about that coming up.
I can't wait to hear that, how that went for you.
It was
show
great.
Was like. It's 8:35 on this Monday. We'll talk with Drew Fabianich here in just a minute. But first, I want to check in with Louie Arata at McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. And this is a big travel week. I'm not telling anyone anything new there, but, you know, you want to make sure that your ride is ready for wherever you might be taking it. And sometimes that means you got to get a new one or a pre-owned vehicle. McConnell's ready for you if that's the case.
That's right. I mean, you're going to the Iron Bowl, you're going to visit friends. I mean, whatever you want, we got the car for you. I mean, we got from Yukon XLs to Yukons to three-quarter ton pickups, half-ton pickups. Don't forget those new half-ton pickups got 0%. So, and on the used car side, we're going to have to start buying something to stack these things on top of each other because, man, we are getting cars in left and right. You check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Come by and see us. We're going to be here all week, and except Thursday. We're going to be here every day. We're going to be cooking a little bit on Wednesday, I think, and we're just going to have some fun around here and sell some of these fine rides.
Yeah, sounds like a good week, Louie, and we appreciate it. Hope to see you there this week.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Louie Urata with McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Drew Fabianich is the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. He joins us on this Monday, as he generally does, after a weekend of college football. And by the way, Drew, something new happened in terms of my TV viewing yesterday. Were you able to see all the games over the weekend? That's been settled,
okay. I believe, yeah.
So I'm getting ready to watch the – I go to NBC last night. My provider is Fubo, and Fubo informs me, we are having discussions right now with NBC Universal. I'm like, are you blanking kidding me? So anyway, it was a TV-free evening with Danny B last night.
Wow.
You didn't miss much.
No. Well, he missed Stafford playing out of his absolute mind. Yeah. But, yeah, as far as the game, not too great. Drew, how are you this morning? Heading into
good. How are you guys?
We're good. Rivalry week this week. And thank goodness we have some potentially really good games on the schedule, because this past weekend it wasn't through and through a cupcake week, but we didn't have a whole lot of tight games.
No, there wasn't a lot of them there. There wasn't even a lot of tight ones on the ones that actually worked. Actually, you would say cupcakes.
Yeah.
I used to call them money games because I was on the other end of those money games.
You were getting the money.
Oh yeah. Like when I was at Louisiana Monroe, we played three top five teams, played Arizona, Florida, and Kansas State, all in the first 4 weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
God. So I'm serious when I ask this. Were there a lot of injuries?
A few, but again, that's what you had to do to support the athletic program.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts around it.
Yeah. Well, this week and weekend should be great for the games that we have, but, not a whole lot of movement in the top of the rankings. I guess just Oregon moved up a little bit after that win over USC. I'm interested, too, as some of these quarterbacks decide whether or not they're going to enter the draft and maybe come down to Mobile for the Senior Bowl as they prepare for their next stage of their careers, or stay back at school. Dante Moore, quarterback for Oregon, one of these that folks really don't know what he's going to do, but he's certainly shown some flashes, and some have said he could be the first quarterback taken, if depending on how things shake out.
Well, and some of those opinions come from people that don't know if the ball's pumped or stuffed either.
He pretty much handed the ball off this week. They just ran the ball.
Well, he was also missing some receivers, but he ought to stay. He ought to stay in school. Hmm. Would he be the first quarterback taken? I don't think so. But again, that's just my opinion. Just like all these mock drafts, they got opinions. The talking heads got opinions. We all got opinions. But put it this way: when you have that opinion and it doesn't, your living doesn't depend on it. Like NFL personnel people, well, it's pretty easy to, say what you want to say and then no repercussions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What is that like, being someone who, for a living scouts these players and has had your career, live and die by who you select? When you see some of these mocks come out, and even if it's Mel Kiper, who's a well-established name, but do you just laugh and shake your head or have a group text going like, what in the heck is this guy thinking?
No, I don't even waste my time anymore, to be honest, because it'll change seven more times.
Yeah.
It'll be like, haven't you seen this is my mock draft 1.0? And by the time it gets to the draft, it'll be my draft 12.0. And it's after I talk to everybody, after I go to the combine, and after I listen to everybody talk. And then all of a sudden, we get close to what it's actually going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because, scouts and personnel people can't help it. They love to hear themselves talk. Yeah.
And also, there is no position with the variation of outcome in quarterback. When you're just scouting a player, if it's a defensive end or if it's a linebacker or a safety, whatever, your chances of being right on with your evaluation, probably, the percentage is pretty high, as opposed with a quarterback where you can just think he's the greatest thing ever and he can't get out of his own way in the pros.
Well, and some of that's because of the way that, these kids are coached in college. And, in the NFL, it's a whole different ball game because the verbiage is so long. It's hard to learn. You have to change the protections. You have to identify the mic. You have to be all well aware of all of this, and you got to do it in 45 seconds.
Yep.
Well, in college, you don't have to do that. I mean, because, some of the times it's signaled in. You don't even have to get in the huddle. You don't even make a huddle call. And the reason why the verbiage is so long is because play sheets are about 400 plays long in the NFL, and you can't rep 400 plays. So you have to tell everybody what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And,
wow.
The classic video I saw, and it was Chris Sims trying to repeat John Gruden's huddle calls.
Hmm.
And if you can look it up on, online, and he's messing it up. And Chris Sims is a very smart young man, not young man anymore, but very smart, and played quarterback his whole life. And he couldn't get it all.
Yeah.
In the first year. So that's where the development is hard. And when you're not prepared for that, the game is too fast for you in the NFL. And until you get to where you understand what you're doing, it's not going to slow down.
Yeah, I've been watching, as a Titans fan, Cam Ward kind of figure it out throughout the year, and he's starting to look more comfortable. And so much of it is just that play clock in your head, how much time you have to get it done, and how much faster it is in the NFL than in college ball. And talking about the play calls, I mean, last night in that Rams-Buccaneers game.
It was the game last night?
Because it was a blowout, that kind of became a central storyline, was Stafford receiving the call from McVay, and they said about 25 words, I think, on average for each play call. I'm just picturing, after he gets hit pretty hard or something, how difficult that must be to get back to the huddle, spit out this paragraph of a call, and then get to the line, and then the real work begins. It's just amazing to me, Drew.
Yeah, when you get to the line of scrimmage, it's, okay, what's the coverage showing me? What are they showing me? Are they bringing any blitz? Do I have to change the protection? Then I got to ID the mic. Then I got to change everything. Then if you got a kill call to where you can kill it to a run, well, then what's the run like? Well, you're gonna audibleize to the run too. Now all this is done in 45 seconds.
It's absolutely
it's maddening.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's the tackle situation look like in this year's draft? Even compared to other years, are there a lot of guys you could see playing on the edge at offensive tackle, I should say, for the near future? I know the Miami tackle Francis Mauoga, or however you say his name, he's been looked at by a lot of folks, but I haven't heard many talking about the offensive line this year.
Well, I think it's normal that the offensive tackle non-glamour position, mm-hmm. Quote, is not talked about till later on, until the combine, until, the draft process, kind of kicks into gear. Because I think the tackle class is probably about the same as it was last year. The guard center is not as strong as it was last year. But I'll tell you one thing, the defensive end and edge class mm-hmm. is really, 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 really good. I'm going to leave some guys on the street that I would love to have in the game, just because I don't have enough spots for them. The interior defensive line is not as good as it was last year. Linebacker safeties are about the same, because linebacker safety has kind of dwindled in numbers over about the last 10 years because I think there's a lot of kids that just do not want to play linebacker safety because it's not glamorous. There's not, the big money there, but there really is if you just stick with it,
right.
But they don't, They want balls. They want touches. They want to play tight end. They want to play receiver. You know, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but
yeah.
Corners about the same. The receiver class is deep, but it doesn't have a lot of number one receivers. There's a lot of number twos. There's a lot of number threes in it, but it's pretty deep. Tight end class is really good. Nice mix of Y tight ends and then FH tight ends, the receiving tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback, I think, is good. You know, probably better than last year, to be quite honest with you. You know, so I think I kind of covered most of my running backs, probably about the same as last year. So
that's interesting, too. And you brought up tight ends. You know, I wonder if we're in a new era where all the guys who grew up watching Gronk and Kelce and
Kittle now,
and some of these guys. I mean, you look at Bowers and you look at some of these guys who are coming out, and they seem like real game changers, not just end line blockers that get out for a little swing or a little throw in the flats every now and then. These are guys that can change the game. I know tight ends Max Clair had a big week, even though they were playing Syracuse, who's been seeing some rough times. And Kenyon Sadiq with Oregon, that tight end, there are some guys who can really help a team out in a major way.
Yeah, but like you said, though, they're not inline blockers, though.
Yeah.
They're really quasi-receivers, I mean, when you look at it. That's why we always call them FH types, because they're too small, you know, to actually get any movement in line. The guys like Kittle that can do both, they're rare. I mean, rare. You know, Jason Witten was a good position blocker, but was he a dominant blocker? Wasn't dominant, but he was good.
Mm-hmm.
But he was also catching 100 balls every year.
Right.
You know, so that's where he made his money, and he knew it. You know, the Tony Gonzalez is the world. Those kind of guys, that's kind of size that can block. Like I said, they're few and far between. These guys are more receiving tight ends, detached tight ends, and, you know, more like move blocking, you know, tight ends. I think we call them whams and space guys, because, like I said, there's not a lot of George Kittles out there. There aren't.
So rivalry week is coming up. I know you've got to look at everything through the lens as the executive director of the Senior Bowl, but just as a fan, this is a lot of fun. Texas A&M in Texas. Georgia Tech, Alabama, Auburn, and the Iron Bowl.
You got the Egg Bowl on Friday.
And the Lane Kiffin situation is weaved in within that. So a lot of interesting TV watching beginning this Friday, for sure, Drew.
Absolutely. Now, I was part of the, quote, you know, rivalry with Tennessee and, you know, and Kentucky. But, you know, when I was at Tennessee, we didn't say it was really a rivalry because you actually had to win a game every once in a while to be a rivalry.
I get it.
And it's back to that, finally.
It is back to that, yeah. I mean, and I think Cutler kind of was the first one to actually beat Tennessee in quite a while, you know, way back. Mm-hmm. So it's good. It's good they brought it around, and it's going to be an interesting game. And, you know, the Iron Bowl will be a little bit more interesting than people think. You know, too. It really will be.
Yeah, especially with Deuce Knight showing up against Mercer. You wonder how much they'll play that freshman this week against Bama. But it should be a good one. And I know you guys, I mean, it is almost crunch time for the Senior Bowl. We have let's see if I can do math, just over 2 months until the game. But, of course, so much goes into it. You guys are going to be working nonstop.
Yeah, the invites are actually going out tomorrow.
Okay.
On the 25th. So we did that for a reason, because I knew that, you know, being on that coaching side for a long time, you know, coaches don't like to get the rhythm broke with the team and all that during the regular season. So there wasn't any reason to do it any earlier, just because they were going to be sitting around for 2 or 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to be right. We didn't want to rush to it. We wanted to let guys play up into the game or play out of the game. And that's really why we did it.
That's interesting. So that's interesting.
Going out tomorrow.
So you've seen players at in August or September, really not high enough on your board, but now they're going to be in the game. Is that right?
Absolutely, and the other way around too.
Cool.
All right, looking forward to it. And tickets available at SeniorBowl.com. Of course, that whole week there's plenty for folks around here to do. So really can't wait for that, Drew. And we'll talk again next week.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Executive Director, Panini Senior Bowl, Drew Fabianich. Great dude. Informative. Texter here says, how about them Cowboys? Yeah, what a win for them against Philly yesterday. And I showed you that Gunner, who's a seventh rounder, I believe. There's a gunner on the punt team who had the most unbelievable effort play I've seen.
And caused a fumble.
And caused a fumble.
After getting his head bashed in about five times on the way downfield.
I'll put that on my Twitter page for folks to check out.
Please do. That's fantastic. 851, Dan and Dalton.
News, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
What's going on, y'all? Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:55, rolling toward the top of the hour in the Jeff Poor Show.
And on the Jeff Poor Show today, State Representative Jennifer Fidler in hour number one. Dale Jackson from WVNN, a fan of the Florida Gators. How'd they do on Saturday?
They got whipped up by your Vols.
That was fun. And in hour three, let's see. Medicare Advantage Majorities. Darren Grubb. Sorry, I was trying to read that one. Medicare Advantage Majorities, Darren Grubb. So we're going to get some insurance talk with the Jeff Poor Show. Stay tuned. 9 to noon coming up here. What did we make of... So this weekend, Friday, you had Trump laying into Marjorie Taylor Greene, who ended up resigning from Congress.
Right.
And on the same day, hamming it up with the socialist mayor of New York City, Mamdani, in the Oval Office.
I'm always cautious to be critical of a move that Trump makes. And this is not because I'm such an over-the-top fan of Donald Trump. That wouldn't necessarily be the case. What I am is somebody who looks at his track record. Everything seems to be, everything is part of a negotiation. Mm-hmm. So even when you're being nice to Mamdani, you're just kind of softening up for something. Yeah. I don't know what it is. He definitely did not make the day of a lot of Republican operatives who now they can't really attack all Democrats as being like,
well, Donnie. Is he saving some Republicans from themselves by doing that? And does he realize that, you know, there's a lot of the same success that Trump had, a lot of the same success he had was populism.
Yeah.
Prices are too damn high.
Yeah.
Take care of your own backyard before you worry about everyone else. Now, Mamdani goes about it a different way, but same general message. Get the prices down. And I think Trump, by doing the way he did it Friday at the Oval Office, where he was friendly, he didn't endorse any of Mamdani's political ideas.
No, but he did say he thought he was going to do a good job. Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to do a good job by implementing his ideas, or at least trying to. I guess he'll have to. You know, there's only so many things he can do. He's not a ruler. He's the mayor.
Yeah.
So there's only so much he can do. I think he's going to have to get cooperation from Hochul at the state level too. Yeah. So, you know, it's not all. It's a lot of it was just campaigning. He got in,
and it freaked. I don't know how many Republicans it freaked out. I mean, I saw him out there. I think Laura Loomer was losing it a little bit, but I really think the left probably more freaked out about Trump and Mamdani's love fest than the right was, because they're, you know, you have Mamdani who he ran his campaign on how much he hates Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And there he is, kind of like looking like a smiling schoolboy next to Grandpa.
He did. He looked like he just got an A on his report card. And he went in to visit Uncle Donald and his rich Uncle Donald.
Yeah.
Waiting for a $50 bill.
And Trump saved him from some awkward exchanges, too. Like when he said, hey, you've called Trump a fascist. Do you still stand by that? And Trump goes, yeah, go ahead and say it. You can say it. Doesn't matter anyway.
Leave the kid alone. That's Trump. 8:59. Jeff Poor on the way next.